When a child joins a family, the announcements that are sent out often mark the exact moment of the arrival. You've seen them, no doubt. Either they've come to you on cards, or perhaps you've seen them in social media posts. Several weeks ago, friends of mine adopted their youngest daughter, or I should say they finalized the adoption of their youngest daughter, which they shared with the world through a picture of their whole family with the judge. Their daughter in the center holding a poster with her new last name and the date that the papers were signed and the words "Forever Family." Birth announcements will often note the exact moment of the little one's arrival, along with its precise weight. For example, a card that would say, "Introducing Jacob Smith, born April 14th, at exactly 2:01 a.m., 6 pounds, 2 ounces. And I imagine that this tradition continues because there's something in us that loves the specificity of knowing the exact moment, or being able to proclaim the exact moment, rather, of when a child arrived and changed a family forever. But notice, though, in the story that Luke tells of Jesus' birth, that we have no idea exactly when Jesus came into the world. We know that the moment that the angels appeared to the shepherds was at night, but does this mean that Jesus was born at night? We don't know. Maybe he was, or maybe he had been born at noon, and the heavenly hosts graciously gave Mary a few hours to recover and Joseph a few hours to master swaddling clothes before the visitors began to arrive. For Luke, it's not the time of the birth that matters. It's the time of the announcement itself. The time of the news breaking into the world. The fact that God chose a moment when all was dark, when most were sleeping, and when those who were awake to be on watch against danger, this was the time that God sent angels to announce the birth. As if, perhaps, God wanted, in the birth of Jesus, to give us all a blessing in the night. Nighttime, some of you may well know, has a different spiritual feel than the daytime. The darkness offers protection for hopes and fears that make us vulnerable in the day. In the evening, in my home, before the day is fully over, my husband and I ask our children around the dinner table about what kind of day everyone had, about what happened at school, about everyone's highs and lows. And sometimes the reports we share are quite detailed, and the conversation goes on, and sometimes we all simply share what we had for lunch. But later, at bedtime, when the lights are out and eye contact is made impossible by the darkness, when screens and books no longer distract, that's when the questions surface about the meanings of things, the wonderings about how to be a good friend, or the worry about being left out of the group, the regret of a crossword, or the joyous hopes for the next day. Night is often when the grieving feel their grief the most, when the obligations of the daytime, the doctor's appointments and the hair appointments, getting new tires for the car and having coffee with a friend, when the day obligations of the day that fill time and push sadness to the margins of the mind are over, it is at night when the reality of loss rushes in. The angels came at night. Night, when the shepherds were watching over their flocks, mindful of the threats of mountain lions and jackals and thieves, predators that use darkness as cover to kill and steal and destroy. There they stood as a thin line of protection between the sheep and danger. You also imagine that the shepherds there keeping watch also watched the stars, the constellations, and maybe some of them tried to connect the vastness of that universe with the concrete fact of their own existence. I imagine that maybe they asked, as a psalmist asked long ago, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set in place, what are we human beings that you are mindful of us, O God?" Or maybe in the night, they wondered, just what was the point of all these sheep anyway? The long nights and the dirty labor, the landowners that never seemed grateful, the wages that never seemed to be quite enough. Whenever the baby arrived, the birth was announced at night. At the time when intimate and eternal questions rise to the surface, when danger seems more dangerous for being unknown, but in which possibility and hope summon the attention of the human spirit, then an angel of the Lord appeared and the blessing was given. To you is born this day in the city of David, a Messiah, the Lord. And so with the coming of this child, with the announcement to the shepherds and to you and to me, and to all who wait in the night for a word, all the hopes and the fears, the wanderings and the wonderings of all years lead to one place, to Bethlehem and to the manger. To you, who in the night wonder whether there is purpose or plan, to you is born this child. Come and see him. See the face of a newborn, too little and too weak to make plans, too young yet to wonder about all that will happen in the future or to worry about what the coming days will bring. See in his face that there is a blessing simply in being. For in him, God has chosen simply to be with us. Sure, in days to come, he will work. He will grow, and he will teach, and he will heal, and he will perform miracles, and his work will bless us too. But his blessing begins with simply bearing the presence of God in our midst. For babies tell us that it is magnificent just to exist. And this baby tells us that it is magnificent to God that we exist, that we are beloved by God, that there is no plan deeper or purpose more compelling that God has for us than to simply be the beloved. To you, whose deepest losses feel most real at the stroke of midnight, to you is born this child. He will not bless you by giving false comfort or by trying to fix what cannot be fixed. He will bless you by coming to lay in the manger of your grief and bring light in the darkness and peace to your exhausted souls. In the future, he will bring all our sorrows to an end, for on another night, unseen by human eyes, he will be born to new life from a grave. But for now, in this night, there is a blessing in his being with us even here, in offering the promise that there is no night so forbidding he will not be with us in it. The intensity of our sorrow or our anger will not frighten him away. Sometimes the light he gives is small, the hope just a spark, a gentle push until the day comes. The blessing is that it is enough. The shepherds watched their flock by night. The angels appeared and spoke of a child. People often ask new parents whether the children are sleeping well for us. And indeed, most new parents hope for the day when we will sleep through the night in peace. But the angels know, and God knows, that there are some nights that need interruptions, some nights that need announcements. And this is the promise of Christmas, that the angels will tear those nights apart with light and sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace."